The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab became the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed became the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon became the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asaph. Asaph became the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah became the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah became the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, Amos the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud became the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok became the father of Akim, Akim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus the total number of generations from Abraham to David is 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile to the Christ, 14 generations. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, that makes everything clear, so I guess I'm done. I think that is one of the least anticipated and welcomed gospels for most people when they just start, especially if you have to be the lect. Well, usually it's a priest, so we don't have a problem, but when they just hear all this list of names and like, where are we going with this? But the reason why both St. Luke and St. Matthew do something similar, they have different genealogies, but they both go through the same logic, is for the Jewish people, it was of supreme importance. First of all, they wanted to be able to establish that the Messiah was supposed to come from the house of Judah, and they wanted to establish that this is the authentic bloodline leading to the coming of the Messiah. Because Jesus, in so many regards, was not what they expected. You know, he grew up in poverty, like so many of the great figures of the Old Testament began in poverty, but they usually ended up well-to-do and powerful, and God blessed them and whatnot. And Jesus ended up on a cross, so that wasn't really a very convincing witness to a lot of people. So the gospel writers wanted to make clear that Jesus was the Messiah, and that the Messiah came through these bloodlines. And for the Jewish people at the time, this would have been like the exciting part of the gospel. You and I just kind of start yawning as a rule of thumb. But I think for modern times, there's also something else that we can look at, and it's this. If you want, we could summarize it in the words that God is faithful. Okay? God, in Luke's gospel, he begins with Adam and Eve. In Matthew's gospel, he begins with the moment that God explicitly entered into salvation history in the person of Abraham. He calls Abraham, he says, come to a land, I will give you these promises, I will be your God, you will be my people. He says, I will give you a land, I will give you inheritance, I will make your name a blessing, I will make of you a new people. And from that seed of Abraham, God was going to begin this entire process of restoring human history, restoring human nature. And the pinnacle of that process was going to be Christ, the Messiah, born as true God, true man, bringing about our redemption by his perfect act of obedience, his perfect, if you want, fulfillment of everything that humanity has always meant, was always meant to be before God, and uniting and elevating everything that is human to the divinity, because he simultaneously shares a human and divine nature. So we see this thread of God's work, and I think perhaps what should give us hope is not that this was a thread of God's work amongst a perfect people and this line of great saints. You know, it's not like St. Dominic led to St. Francis, led to St. Ignatius, led to St. Teresa of Avila, led to St. Catherine of Siena, led to St. John Vianney, you know, this list of stellar, exemplary figures. You're looking at a list of a lot of brokenness, a lot of what you would call just humanity, a lot of people who have their moments of generosity and then their moments of, frankly, fat, blatant sin, abuse, everything you want. I mean, you can make a great soap opera just writing the history of the Jewish people in the Bible. It's got everything you want. Sex, war, theft, lies, corruption, the whole nine yards. It's all in there. And in that history, God remains faithful. And he works with the vicissitudes of each generation, and he weaves this thread coming to this perfect fulfillment in the coming of Christ. And the same is true today. God remains faithful in a culture and in a world that is full of light and darkness, shadows and, you know, bright patches, so to speak. And God continues to weave in and out of our yeses and our noes, and he will always remain faithful, which means that we can always have great trust and great hope in him. Doesn't mean that everybody gets to go to heaven, far from it, but it means that our weakness and our falls are not too much for God to work with. And as long as we, in our moments of lucidity, so to speak, turn to God and offer him our weakness, if that's the best we can give God, if we can't say, Lord, I'm full of good works, I offer you them. If that, frankly, we can't really say that. So if the best that we can do is say, Lord, I'm kind of a mess, here you go. If we have the confidence to do that, God can work with us the same way he worked with this whole list of people that we just read about. Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit.